This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
A lot of young people underrate time as an asset. They don't realize how much time flies. My 11-year-old, this year turning 12, when he was born, I was 30.
Yeah.
And this guy, I've closed my eyes and right now he's up to my shoulder. And expenses have gone up. The school fees, everything has gone up.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a casual approach towards money and thinking you have all the time, that's where we go wrong.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Make Money the Podcast. Now, every second Thursday of June, the government will lay out its spending plans in what we call the national budget. And it will outline where it plans to spend, how much it plans to spend, and from where it will be sourcing this money. However, at an individual level, most people won't do the same and would rather, spend as on a need basis. We'll also have some that, you know, do not save and might not have a rain check set aside for the purposes of meeting emergencies. And so today, as we still get the year on the road and get the show back on the road, we are discussing money plans here, and my guest for this episode is Amos Ngahu. He's a financial coach, a money coach, a trainer, an author, and the founder of Money Clinic Limited. And Mr. Ngahu, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Kefa.
Yes, and just in the introduction, I like to juxtapose, you know, the government planning for its money and people necessarily not planning for their money. And I know the government might not be the best at spending money, but again, that's a conversation for another day. But in the end, we do know there is a budget. Yeah. Now, many people will not have a budget, so you spend, you know, out of, you know, whatever factors might determine, out of thought, out of a need basis, or just pay rent, sort your utilities, and that's it. Many people have never actually budgeted. So someone might be listening, never budgeted, and they would want to know, we are talking about planning for your money. They've never budgeted. Where do you start? There's so many places you could start. Where do you start talking, you know, budgeting?
You know, I think we can start with levels of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually, in the recent interaction with people, and in my 17 years of dealing with relationships with between people and money, I've actually come to realize that a lot of people understand what a budget is. A lot of people know at the back of their heads or at the back of their minds that I need to save. I'm paying school fees. We're in January. I'm paying school fees. I am paying rent at the end of the month. That means I need to budget for whatever I come to, you know, that I come across. And that is where you'll find that even some people will use that to negotiate their salary or to negotiate their profits so that they are able to meet certain things. So the problem is not even the point of knowledge, because financial literacy cuts across four areas. There's the skills, there's the knowledge. And now we are dealing with an information age whereby with your phone, you can actually download a budget from any website. You can actually go to YouTube and get how to budget. So skills and knowledge no longer are a challenge. The challenge comes in between after that now, which is behavior.
Yeah.
Okay. And attitudes towards money.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will tell you the economy is so tight, I cannot be able to budget. I'll work with the needs as they arise.
Yeah.
Once my money is over, I go to now the what we call the overdrafts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to brand them because app now has an overdraft, a digital loan.
Yeah.
So the challenge is, what attitudes are we having that are actually slowing us down from budgeting? What behaviors have we picked along the years, over the years, that we can no longer be able to support our budgets? And that's a challenge we have. There's a book called Psychology of Money. I know I'm an author, but it's a very famous book. And
more
the guy,
than us, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the first thing he talks about is that no one is an idiot.
True.
No one is an idiot. And I can confirm that for the 17 years I've dealt with people and their money, I'm yet to find an idiot.
Yeah.
Most of the people are either they have a blurred vision based on their experience, based on their season, based on the things they've gone through. So you'll find, if today I earn 30,000, and you can tell I'm already my fuel, or my, not even fuel, my fare, My bus fare has gone up by 50%. Yeah. So I'll just survive because I need to survive. So I'll not budget because what else am I talking about? Mm-hmm. So there are so many factors that actually lead to the current behavior and attitudes that we have towards money. So we'll have to just demystify and see what are some of these things that we can be able to do and have, even if we are not changing now, to notify and acknowledge and see how we can work from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think from your response to the first question, you mentioned that people are conscious that mm-hmm. of the need to budget. People are conscious of how they use their money. They might not necessarily have budgets.
Yes.
But sometimes you find someone, even the most conscious, mm-hmm. will sometimes tend to overspend.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a curious case of a friend who actually tells me they oversaved on a certain month and they were low. And I asked, like, what happened? Because mm-hmm. I like to always know what happened, like, just to take care of that not to happen again. And they, you know, they tell me that they actually oversaved again.
Mm-hmm.
So they saved more than they had planned. And I know the common, the classic case is always overspending, not oversaving. How do you hit the balance where, you know, someone, they still need to meet their needs, still want to meet their wants, and they still want to save? How do you get the right balance?
Awesome. I normally like putting in the aspect of investing with a purpose. Because one of the things you do, if you just save and you don't have a specific purpose you're saving towards.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, if I'm saving towards a holiday at the end of this year, I can start prepayments to these guys who provide these services. So that now every month, 8K or Mica 10K or Mica 5K goes towards that.
Yeah.
So that come December, I am ready to go for my holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I have done a prepayment. But what if I was saving, let's say, in a bank account? And something came up, some sort of an emergency came up in April. If I had saved for 3-4 months, then I would use that money for a different purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So what normally happens, you must save towards a purpose so that you feel like you've ticked off. For instance, if someone tells you they have oversaved, I would rather, because what they're doing is, do you call it, accumulating pain.
Yeah. Have you ever taken the pain today?
Yeah. For instance, it's like if I give you 100 bob today, okay?
Yeah.
If you lose that 100 bob and you've been paid, you will not feel that money, isn't it?
Yeah.
But let's say every time I come here, I'm coming here for the next 30 days. And every time I come here, I give you 100 bob.
Yeah.
So at the end of the month is how much? 3,000.
Yeah, 3,000.
Now, if you lose that 3,000 at a go,
yeah.
you will feel the pain.
You will feel that.
So definitely. I normally tell people, if you're not saving towards a certain purpose, forget about it. Just eat your money.
Yeah.
So that you're not accumulating the pain. Because I'm sure you've got into a place in life whereby you got some money somewhere, but because you didn't have a plan, you do what we call in Swahili kuchuna chuna. You're just leaking kidogo kidogo.
Yeah.
And by the time you're done, you ask yourself, what did I do with that money?
Yeah.
I cannot tell. And it's very painful.
You can't even find, what did I buy in the house?
Yes.
There's nothing really.
Yeah. And then also now, when it comes now to overspending, you'll realize some of these things are attributed to what you call money personalities.
Yeah.
So if you look at money personalities, they're guys who are spenders. Guys who believe everything good is meant for them.
Yeah.
They allow that to define who they are.
Yeah.
Their ability to provide.
Yeah.
So you'll find when this person has money,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to be told they have money.
You will see it. Yeah. there's a funny joke. One of my friends says, you know, I will interpret it in English and say, for you to get used to money, you need to use it.
Yes.
So in Swahili, they say, "Tumia pesa ikuzoe."
Ikuzoe.
Yeah.
But you see, now the thing is, a lot of us try to, when we get money, we use it trying to prove that we are not poor. You understand?
Yeah.
So you buy unnecessary things. You're going to unnecessary places. You're spending on unnecessary people just to prove that you're not poor. And that's where you'll find that even the wealthy, the wealthiest of wealthiest, they don't care the brands. They don't care about brands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, for spenders, we may not get there. Okay? We'll still want to enjoy our good lifestyle, but now sustainably. So when it comes to spending, you need to be aware that if I am a spender, I cannot approach a budget the same way a hoarder will spend. Because this is a guy who's disciplined, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what do I do with this budget? Can I sit down with this budget and say, I have been paid today as Amos, right?
Yeah.
What are the important things to me right now?
Mm-hmm.
What are the current needs I'm going to put down and pay my rent? I'm going to put down and pay school fees for my children.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a budget and put it aside for food. So that whatever is left behind, will be squeezed to fit all the other miscellaneous. Yeah. Okay, but most importantly, if I am planning to achieve something with my finances, before now even go to rent, before I even go now to the school fees, I can actually say 10% of my my income will go to a certain investment. Am I doing a money market? Am I doing a SACCO? Yeah. Am I doing a land installment? You understand? Mm-hmm, based mm-hmm. on the dreams that you have.
Yeah.
Then everything else squeezes into what you have.
Into what you have.
The problem with most spenders is that you've been paid today and it's on a Friday.
Yeah.
And you've not done anything else. Someone tells you, let's go, there's like a joint here, we go do nyama. What does nyama end up being?
Yeah.
Other things, isn't
Other
it?
Things,
so true. Before you even pay any expense, yeah. you've done what? Why? Because the worst enemy to a spender is liquidity. Yeah. They will always be liquid. They will always spend on things they had not even planned.
Yeah.
And that's why I normally tell business people, if you are told that you qualify for certain overdraft,
yeah.
be very careful to someone selling you a loan.
Yeah.
Because probably you need 200,000, but guess how much you will take?
Yeah, 300,000. You take the whole limit.
You take the whole limit.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't need it. So you mm-hmm. have to be very careful with our personalities around money.
Yeah.
Yes. So that can actually help you in overspending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the other one now coming to budgeting, there are many methodologies you can take. I think the popular one I always come across is the 50-30-20 rule, mm-hmm. where 50 is on your needs, you know. Mm-hmm. Sort of your core expenses mm-hmm. for the month. Mm-hmm. 30% you can save, you can use them on wants, you know, the subscriptions, mm-hmm. the small share has you mentioned if you can, mm-hmm. and save 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes it's easy to take something that works and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I always like to question, is there another way? Like mm-hmm. you mentioned, there are many personalities.
Yes.
If I feel I'm more of a saver, I might mm-hmm. switch the 30 and 20 and say 20 will be my wants, 30% mm-hmm. will be my savings.
Mm-hmm.
Does one run with, you know, proven models or models that are more popular, or can one actually define their own ways of going around a budget?
Ideally, it's always good to have a percentage.
Yeah.
But we cannot put everybody's situation in one template.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Take, for instance, if you're working here and you're a young man, let's say you're not married,
yeah.
and your folks had properties, so you're not paying rent.
Mm-hmm.
You get.
Yeah.
So you're already living, yeah. your rent has been taken care of.
Yeah.
What is stopping you from investing more than half of your income? Okay.
Yeah.
Or a lady still staying at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, for a man who has a family and is a breadwinner,
yeah.
that is a huge game. Luxury.
Yeah.
80 to almost 90% goes towards expenses.
Yeah.
So one of the things I normally tell people is your budgeting should be led by the financial goals that you have. Right now, there could be someone listening to us and they are lumped up in debt.
Yeah.
So you see, you cannot tell this person save.
Yeah.
Saving right now is a luxury.
Yeah.
We must first of all get rid of this debt. And even worse, you'll find this person has debts in a bank, have debts, Shylocks, they have digital loans, all these very expensive debts. So yeah. one of the things you can actually say is, first of all, part of your expenditure needs to go up so that we clear these debts. Okay?
Yeah.
So that one is normally tailor-made. In my own experience, I normally tailor-make these solutions for people so that I look at your income, I look at your expenses. What can you reduce your expenses and what can we increase towards your savings and investment so that over time
yeah.
you can be able to sustain yourself with the kind of lifestyle that you're having right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
mm-hmm.
no one particular percentage that yeah. can work. What needs to be done is one tailor-made for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no one size fits all
yeah,
in anything.
No.
It can be. All right. I think the other part I would like on budgeting, I think it's very easy to, you know, take care of what expenses you need, the wants you might have and the needs that are necessary.
Mm.
But savings, there's always a certain friction, especially among people, you know, people tend to feel, maybe I'm young, maybe I'm 25, I start saving at 30, or maybe whatever I earn is not enough to save.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people tend to, they might do a budget, but they neglect one side, given the factors like you said.
Mm.
Of course, for debt, we know it's best to pay down debt first and then, you know, and then recover, because there are savings again that will come from that.
Mm.
But for people who challenge savings and say, maybe it's not for me, or maybe it's not the time I have all the time, I've mm-hmm. just started out.
Mm-hmm.
I've just started a job.
Mm-hmm.
Let me first have a test for my money, then mm-hmm. arrange.
Mm-hmm.
How would you challenge, you know, such thinking around savings, especially?
You see, there's a lot of young people underrate time as an asset. they don't realize how much time flies. My 11-year-old, this year turning 12, when he was born, I was 30.
Yeah.
And this guy, I've closed my eyes, and right now he's up to my shoulder. And expenses have gone up. The school fees, everything has gone up.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a casual approach towards money and thinking you have all the time, that's where we go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is what normally happens. There's a habit. There's a habit that one has. And if it's a bad habit, you'll never feel it until it's too late. Okay?
Yeah.
And what most young people are doing right now, they're taking everything casual. So by the time you realize, oops, I have a baby. Oops, I have a family.
Yeah.
Now expenses have gone 3-4 times up. Mm-hmm. What do? You start panicking.
Yeah.
And that's the time now we are going into debt.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time this person is back to their senses, they're already in their 40s,
yeah, you're 50s. Already in a hole.
And that time you're approaching what we call the dog's years of bucking.
Yeah.
Because now you've wasted your whole career.
Yeah.
Now we need to take advantage of what I call the donkey years, because this is the time you're carrying all the baggage.
Yeah.
You're carrying your families, you're carrying your own, sometimes even supporting your parents.
Yeah.
So right now you need to be very intentional about the money we are taking.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many ways that you can actually curb and invest in. If you're abroad already, our inflation is not as bad, but you can look at it as a point of the way we've seen the dollar, the Kenya shilling losing value of the dollar over time consistently.
It could
why don't
be the
you just accumulate and have dollar account,
saving
it, because whatever, if you convert it now, you'll see the difference.
Yeah, you'll see the difference.
Now we have our money market funds, okay, we have our treasury bills. Currently there's none that is below 16%, okay.
Yeah.
So if you can be able to say that, and I can be able to slowly engage, we cannot run short of investment. We have no excuse of not investing money.
Mm-hmm.
And then we identify, I want to own a piece of land. Why? Probably I want to build a house, and my first house to sell, because I don't want to sit on my capital forever.
Yeah.
Sell my first house, remain with some money, and use that as a retirement.
Yeah.
So we have to intentionally say, even if I am not saving what other people are saving, I am setting aside something for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think you have time, oh, and to you, you never know about tomorrow.
Yeah.
And especially the young people. I'm so particularly disturbed at the level of our young athletes.
Yeah.
And you know the shortest careers are for athletes.
An injury today will put you out.
An injury today will put you out.
Yeah.
You retire. You. How many of them, other than people like Kipchoge, who are running in their 30s, they can't. Look at sports. Look at our soccer team. There's a level you'll get that you have.
Yeah.
You've retired in athletics at 30.
At 30, what do you
in do? In corporate world, you're a child.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
You understand? So you have a whole...
You're not even in mid-level yet. You're still starting out.
So even if you're saving, get a degree, get a skill.
Yeah.
Learn something over and above your talent so that now you can advance that as a career in future.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people now think that saving is just about cash. Save, develop, or invest in relationships. Utilize your time. Invest in health. Because at the end of the day... you will grow old. Wanasema ujana ni moshi in Swahili.
Yes.
You know, you will realize how quickly these careers can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think the last question around budgeting is when changes occur, you've set your budget, you know what you need to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And for me now, I'm speaking at it from, it's a two-way movement.
Mm.
Sometimes you get more income than you thought you'd get to.
Yes.
So you have a bump in your income.
Yes.
And many people don't know what to do. They now think this over and beyond what I used to make. Now this is what I can just, you know, do as I please, and maybe perhaps not keep within the discipline you had.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's unfortunate.
Mm.
The bump is downwards.
Yes.
How does one adjust their budget accordingly, whichever direction that shock might move you?
Well, the thing is, there's actually a law that states that every time your income goes up, your expenses rise to meet your income.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you realize a lot of people, when they on their first job, they will tell you, I earn very little.
Yeah.
But now I earn a lot, but I don't seem to
make
sustain.
A change. Yeah.
And the thing is, we must be able to understand that the first thing we should increase, and this should be very intentional, even before, if you've been told you're getting an increment, please start looking at how you can increase your portfolio savings.
Yeah.
Okay, don't think of shifting houses, that now I can shift to a 3-bedroom house.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're still by yourself.
And you're still by yourself. These are some of the things that we need to be very intentional. I tell people we make money decisions every day. For me to be here, I fueled my car to come here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I made that decision. Why? Because I see the kind of work we're going to do.
Yeah.
So because money decisions are made every day, they need to be informed. They need to be informed decisions that I have decided today. Now, I am no longer earning the same amount of money. Let's not even look at a reduction on pay.
Yeah.
Let's look at an increment in expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, how much was fuel?
Yeah, probably half what it is now. So I can easily say 100, 120.
It was 100.
Yeah.
It has gone up by over 100%.
Yeah, we're in right? the 116,
and
117.
Assuming,
217, sorry.
Yes, yeah. Assuming you've not received an increment on your salary.
Yeah, which happens to be, happens.
Most likely.
It's very common. Most likely. Most likely. It's the most common thing, yeah.
But then, if you're using 20,000 as fuel, meaning now you're using?
40,000. Yeah.
And you're still driving the same car, assuming everything is okay.
Yeah.
That is what I call denial.
Yeah.
You must be able to address when expenses that are inevitable, that are out of your control, go up. What do you do?
What do you do?
Are there days that you now start working from home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there days that now you start finding out who is my neighbor in this organization and you can carpool?
Yeah, you can carpool. Yeah.
You get
jump to public transport sometimes.
Jump into a matatu.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Probably you'll even have reduced your parking fee.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
If, again, food has gone up by 40-50% and you've not done anything to change that, then it's time you are very intentional about it. That's why I tell people if your income is low, it's time even also to restructure and go to a smaller house.
Yeah.
Okay.
And downsizing is very painful. Most people don't want to do it.
Yeah, they don't want to do it. But I'll tell you what. For me, I've found myself downscaling, and I had to explain to my son, the older one, that we are scaling down to a small house. It's small, but we are here for a short time. Do you know what he told me?
Mm-hmm.
He told me, Daddy, don't worry. It may be small, but that means we are close to each other.
Ah, interesting.
That set me free.
Yeah.
Because even I had scaled down my car and someone was telling me, you, what's happening?
Yeah.
And the person telling me that does not even have a driving license.
Yeah.
So sometimes one of the lessons I can tell you after 40 is that you know the way you in your 20s, you're wondering what people are thinking about you. You realize people are not even aware that you exist.
People have so many things to deal with.
So many of their problems. They don't care.
But the last thing they can do is think about you, what you're up to. Yeah.
So scale down for a time. Adjust, reorganize yourself and move back.
All right.
To something better, because at the end of the day, it's not about counting the money. It's about making it count.
Ah. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same, I think I've seen the time one where it's not about, counting the time, it's making that time count for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to put it to a wrap, I think I would like to also focus on what you do via Money Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, just to wrap up in terms of the conversations you have or what you do in that space.
Awesome. Yeah. We've taken this conversation, Money Conversations, in a simplified way to our socials. On Instagram is Money Clinic, KE, where we just give practical tips. So it will come as a story, it will come as a guide, and you can be able to make your money decisions. And that is on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
On TikTok, where the youth are, we call it money gossip.
Yeah.
We don't want this topic about money, so we gossip about it. So that's
you
what
tell on
do.
It, you tell on money.
But all in all, being a trainer, we hold, if you go to our socials, you'll find we have a class on every month.
Yeah.
Class when people come, subscribe, it's called Money Gossip. It's a half-day training where we are able to meet with people and actually discuss areas of finances that they need to address. And then after that, there is also something I offer called financial therapy, a confidential one-on-one between Amos and Kefa, where we can sit down, I see all your problems, we work around them, and we can be able to do that. Over and above that, we also do corporate trainings, financial literacy for corporates, staff, and communities.
All right, great. That has been Amos Ngahu, our financial coach, money coach, trainer, and also author. And I'd like to thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And that has been another episode of Make Money the Podcast. And this is a production by The Business Daily.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.